You are listening to a message from ICS Church. For more information about ICS Church, please visit us online at ics.church or like us on facebook.com/ICS Church.
Thank you so much. Hey, we want to welcome you to ICS Church. If it is your first time here, we are glad that you've come. Thank you, sir, to be with us today. This is our English service. It's one of our two services that's happening on site and live every Sunday. We have a Tagalog English service also at 8:30 a.m. And as always, both services will be available on demand beginning in the afternoon on Sunday. But we would love to meet you personally. In-house, I don't know about you, but there is something when believers gather together in worship to the Lord, when we fellowship together, you know, after a while, there's a tendency for us to get used to just watching online, and that's good, you know, we're able to connect there, but when we're together, there's also a difference. At the same time, it's an opportunity for us to meet and make new friends, and also to see other friends that we haven't seen in a long time. So look forward to seeing you one of these Sundays here at ICS Church. Hey, we want to quickly congratulate one of our pastors, Pastor Christopher Tycho, and Mrs. Amelyn Christine Tycho on their wedding. They were married yesterday, and as always, love was all around, tears flowed. The rains of blessing came, but it was held back, and so the sun shone as well, and we had a good afternoon wedding over in Antipolo. So they're now on their honeymoon, and so please do not text them, do not message them. We look forward to seeing them back in a couple of days. All right, today's message title is Make Better Decisions. Make Better Decisions. There are so many decisions that we need to make every day. In fact, some of these decisions that we make daily seem trivial. And, you know, it doesn't take much of an effort. Choosing what to eat for lunch in about an hour's time, right? Some of us have already decided what that is, and so that's not an issue. Choosing what to wear. If I could wear the same clothes every day, I would, but I have a wife who loves me and says, no, you've worn that too many times already. Wear something else. But it's easier for me in some ways than in other ways. And so there are some decisions that we make every day it's not a struggle. But then there are those decisions that are a bit more of a challenge. It takes more of an effort, and sometimes deciding alone is difficult. Like, Pastor Topher and Christine made, that was a decision-making process. Deciding if I'm going to get married or not, deciding who to marry, deciding if I'm going to marry this person or not, you know. The marriage, the wedding thing is still fresh in my mind, so that's the illustration for today. It's a lot of things. Some of us are deciding if we're going to get vaccinated or not. I'm not going to get into that argument right now, but you know, some of you guys are in that state, in that situation, when you're deciding and you need wisdom upon those situations. Some of you are deciding whether to stay in the city, to go back to the province, stay in the country, move to another country, take this job or not. And those get a bit more challenging. Those get a bit more challenging. And I'm thankful that in all these decisions, not just the trivial ones, but most especially the difficult ones, the tough decisions, the life-altering decisions that we make, God is with us. And God wants to guide us so that we make wise choices. This is the kind of God that we serve. This is the kind of God that loves us, that pursues us. So whether you know Him or not, whether you follow Jesus or not, you need to know that God has a plan for each one, and He wants you to know it, and He wants you to live it out. Today, that's what we want to look at. We want to learn how to make some of these decisions, because wise decisions bring clarity and stability in life. Wise decisions bring clarity and stability in life, in seasons and times when things are changing constantly. We want to be able to, you know, make decisions somehow with a semblance of stability and clarity in terms of directions. So today we're going to look at three ways that help us make better decisions. Three ways that help us make better decisions according to James. James is a half-brother of Jesus, step-brother of Jesus when he was here on earth. And he wrote a letter addressed, it was a general letter addressed to the 12 tribes of Israel. And it's assumed that that was just sent out throughout the Mediterranean Sea after the persecution of Christians broke out at the stoning of Stephen, the first Christian martyr. So he writes this letter. It's not addressed to any specific city, church, or place, but he does say to the 12 tribes. So it's assumed that this letter was sent and passed around to those left or ran away from persecution during that time. Now, when you read James, it's always interesting because James is written like the book of Proverbs, with many nuggets of thoughts. There's not a particular narrative that runs through it, but one thing is clear, it was written to a persecuted church, a church that was experiencing difficulty. So similar to what we're going through right now, we're going through a tough season for many people around the world. You don't have to be a Christian to actually experience that. The pandemic has touched everyone, disease, wars, and all kinds of strife and struggles have affected all peoples, regardless of age, race, or creed. All of these things have touched us. So James provides, and he says specifically to the Christian believers, to the 12 tribes, as you're going through the season of difficulty, know that God is with you. Persevere through it, because out of this, you will experience discipline and maturity in your spiritual walk with the Lord. So out of the difficulties, growth and maturity will bear fruit. In the midst of these struggles, he advises them. He gives them tips on decision making in the midst of tough times. And the first things he says here, if any of you lacks wisdom, James chapter 1 and verse 5. How many of you feel that way sometimes? I lack wisdom. I'm going to be the first to put my hand up. I lack wisdom. You know, there were times when I lack wisdom. If that's you online, you know, can you say, hey, that's me. I lack wisdom at times. I don't know it all. So the first thing you need to know that you don't know it all. Know that you don't know it all. The first step in making wise choices is know that you don't know it all. Because when we come to that point, we recognize that, yes, there are a lot of things that I know. There's a lot of information that I can access, but I do not know it all. Some of the hardest people to teach are people who actually think they already know it all. Do you know anyone like that? Don't look around. Even you at home, don't look at the person sitting beside you. Don't do that. But some of us know people like that. People who appear and present themselves like they know it all. You tell them a story and they said, oh yeah, I already know that. You tell them about a new thing that you just read, about a new technology. Oh, yes, I already read about that. And so you feel like, man, I'm not going to tell you anything anymore because you seem to know it all. You seem to know it all. They're the people that always give you advice even if you don't ask it. They're the kind of people that are always prescribing things, right? All of us know somebody like that. And maybe you're the person who's like that, right? That might be you. And you're saying, yep, that's me, you know? I'm a know-it-all. And it's hard when you have an attitude that says, I already know it. You don't need to tell me. Because these people find it hard to gain wisdom and understanding in the decisions that they make. Now, James says, you know, if you lack wisdom, he's acknowledging that there will be times when we will face situations that we will lack the knowledge, the capacity, and the ability to make wise decisions. And so he says that needs to be the first posture. It's the posture of humility. The posture of humility says, I don't know it all, and I need help. It's hard to come to that point. You know, as human beings, all of us are capable, and as much as possible, we want to do it on our own. through our own strength, through our own wisdom. But we find out very quickly when sickness strikes, when difficulties come that's beyond our control, natural or unnatural circumstances, we quickly find out, man, I don't have it all. I don't know it all. My wisdom, my strength is insufficient. So the first thing is to recognize that, nope, I don't know it all. The second thing James says is, after recognizing that, hey, I need help, I need to learn to ask for help. I need to learn to assume the posture of humility. And even though it's embarrassing sometimes, I have to admit that God surrounds me with other people to actually help me along the journey. That's what God calls us to. God calls us in community. That's why as a church, we always say that circles are better than rows. We encourage people when they come to faith in Christ not to walk alone, but to come into relationship with one another. It begins with a relationship with God and then in a relationship with other people around us. Why? Because even in our spiritual journey, we cannot do it alone. It's hard. It's not impossible. It is possible, but God brings us people alongside us to help us. One of the illustrations that was shared yesterday in the wedding was, a cord of three strands is not easily broken. A cord of three strands is not easily broken. The wise man Solomon says, you know, pity a man who is alone. When he lies down, there is no one to keep him warm. When he falls down, there is no one to pick him up. Because he knows that God calls us in relationship. Two are better than one. And I'm not just talking about marriage, I'm talking about relationships. So if you're one of those people who says, you know what, I can do it on my own, through my own strength, friend, know that when the time comes when you will not be able to, know that first of all, God is with you, and second, God's people are ready to catch you and to help you in that journey. In fact, right now, for those of you who are online, there are people who are ready to pray with you and for you if you are in need. And for those of you who are in this room, you don't even have to leave today. If you're carrying heavy loads and burdens, you can talk to one of our pastors, one of our leaders in the room before you leave, because that's what we're called to do, right? We are called to be together. So know that you don't know it all, and that begins the first step in gaining wise decisions. Secondly, James says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought that, hey, I didn't know that I could actually ask for wisdom? See, many of us know that we can gain wisdom, and we tell ourselves, I can be wise on my own if I would read enough, if I would go to school enough, if I would get enough information, if I could download everything and read up everything, then I would be wise. Now, in the world standard, that may be true. You may be wise or knowledgeable in a lot of things. If you know a lot of information, a question is asked, and you could probably give a response. There was a guy a couple of decades ago who told the news here in the Philippines. His name was Kuya Ernie Baron, right? This was a guy. And before he would share the weather report, he would always give a nugget of information. And this was before Google ever started. Now, millennials may not even know who this guy is, but that's what he was. He would dish out information. It was like, oh, wow, that's an interesting fact or trivia. And it would appear that it was very wise. But what James is talking about here is beyond human wisdom. Worldly wisdom and the way that we live our life on this earth is one way of living life. But the thing is, we are created just beyond the flesh. God has also given us a spirit and a soul. And so there are decisions that we need to make that are beyond human understanding. And it is here that we require godly wisdom. And that's what James is talking about here. The kind of wisdom is talking about is not the same as the wisdom that the world offers. The wisdom that James is talking about here, biblical, godly wisdom, is wisdom that means the spiritual capability to see and evaluate life and behavior from God's point of view. This is godly wisdom. Wisdom that is seen from God's point of view. And that can only begin when we have a right relationship with our God. If we don't have a right relationship with God, it's going to be hard to gain wisdom, let alone ask Him for it, because you don't recognize Him, or we don't recognize Him. There is only so much that our earthly human wisdom can take us. And then it runs out. And then we're stumped. But with godly wisdom, we have access to the divine. We have access to mysteries and things that sometimes others won't clearly understand. Why? Because it is spiritual wisdom imparted by God to us. In fact, when Jesus was here on earth, He would teach using parables. And many times people would say, "We don't understand." And then He would explain and they would gain understanding. But even after His explanation, sometimes many were still in the dark. And the reason is because they have not put their trust in Jesus. They actually weren't willing to believe in what He was saying. Here, James says that God is actually generous. To gain wisdom from God, to gain favor from God, to gain God's presence, sometimes we think, you know, I have to jump through hoops. I have to complete certain attendance or certain requirements personally before I can attain it. Complete the Sunday services, go to a particular location to access it, memorize this and that. But God says, you know what? All you need to do is to ask. Because when you ask, He gives it generously. And you know what? He gives it without finding fault. And some people say, okay, you know, you want something from me, I'll give it to you on the condition of, if you pay me, if you do this for me, if you, and there's a condition that's attached. But God says, James says, God gives it generously without finding fault, without adding burdens to us. He gives it. Why? Because God wants us to know His will. God wants us to know His will. Did you know that? God wants us to actually walk wisely. Come on, tell the person beside you, behind you, God wants you to walk wisely. He wants you to live wisely. This is important. We need to know that this is God's desire for us. And it's not a mystery. It's not something that is hiding away on a mountain somewhere or behind a rain cloud. It's something that we have to dig. No, He has revealed it to us. And the most obvious way is through His Son, Jesus. And after Jesus ascended to heaven, He revealed it through His Word. He sent the Holy Spirit to guide us. In fact, this is how much God wants us to know His will. That after Jesus ascended into heaven, He said, you know, I'm going to send My Spirit who will guide you into all truth. That's part of the job of the Holy Spirit, to guide us, to illumine our understanding, to help us learn to take the next step in situations that are unclear for us. But if we've never asked for wisdom, we shouldn't wonder why we've never gained wisdom. Again, there's only so much that our human understanding, our worldly wisdom can bring us. And sometimes that worldly wisdom may actually lead us towards destruction rather than fulfill the purposes of God in our life. So ask God for direction about that relationship that's so difficult for you to decide. Ask God's direction for the job that you're considering right now. Ask God's direction for the choices that you're needing to make that seem very difficult for you at this time. When we ask God for wisdom, He will give it to us. He gives it through the power of His Holy Spirit. He gives it through His Word that is revealed, the Scriptures. He gives it through godly people that He surrounds us with. When we allow people to speak into our life, and when we approach them, it is here that we begin to receive wisdom from God. But until and unless we recognize Him, we ask Him for it, we will, for many of us, strive to live on our own and possibly find difficulties amidst those situations. There are some choices right now that some of us have made through our own earthly wisdom, and because of this, we're suffering for it. But when we come to God first in prayer, ask Him, He gives it generously. Let's not wait until things are difficult, things are tough, and only then go to Him. But let's make it our first step. The first step before making a significant decision that can affect my life and the life of the people around me, the first thing I'm gonna do is to seek God. I'm gonna pray and ask Him for wisdom. I'm gonna get into the Word and find principles and truths to help me decide. I'm gonna consult with godly people around me so that towards the end, I can make a wise and godly decision. When we follow these things, it is there that we gain and we begin to make better decisions. And finally, James says, you have to courageously decide. You have to courageously decide. In verse 6, he says, but when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. Because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Do you know people like that? Do you know people who are like, man, hey, where do you want to eat today? I don't know, where do you want to eat? I asked you. You decide. And they can't make a decision. They just can't make a decision. It's just like, probably the kind of the example that you make is, you know what, I want to have breakfast right now. I have a piece of toast, but I don't know what I'm going to have for breakfast. You only have one choice. It's a piece of toast. That's all that you have. But for some people who are double-minded, they're like, I don't know, you know, I don't know. And they can't make up their own minds. And some of the reasons why this happens is because they just refuse to choose. They refuse. Some people, you just have to decide. Have you ever heard that? Just decide. I had some people, you say that, just decide. Just decide. Just make a choice. And it's, you could almost hear the frustration in the voices of the people. Now, why are people afraid to make decisions, choices? Well, one, because it's big. You know, sometimes these are life-altering decisions. I mean, who to marry, what job to take, where to live. This can affect your life. This is significant. Am I going to follow Jesus or not? Am I going to be a Christian or not? Am I going to take the vaccine shot or not? You know, these are significant and force people to, I don't know, you know, and you need wisdom. People are afraid of making decisions because they're afraid of making a mistake. Right? And nobody wants to make a mistake. Nobody wants to be laughed at. Nobody wants to be made a fool. Nobody wants to hear, I told you so. You know, you don't want to hear that. Because that's a mistake that you make. And a guy who's considered a genius by many, right? Albert Einstein. This quote is credited to him. He said, a person who never made a mistake never tried anything new. Now that's really sad. That's really sad. Because it's driven by fear. You're like, you're just gonna accept things as they are, or like what James says, you're tossed by the winds and the waves. You just wanna go with the flow. Whatever the popular vote is, you wanna go there without thinking things through for yourself, praying it through, researching it for yourself. You just wanna go with the flow. And then, when things mess up in the end, you're the one that's miserable. And you're the one that's complaining and you're blaming others. Well, because they decide, well, weren't you the one that was given the option at the beginning? Weren't you said, can you choose? Can you decide? And after the decision was made by somebody else, we start complaining. And really that's what the problem is. If we do not choose to decide for ourselves, you know what's going to happen? Someone else is going to make that decision for us. And we won't have a choice anymore. Whether you like it or not, that decision has been made. So when you're given an option, we should decide. Don't be afraid of making mistakes. Let's not be afraid of making mistakes. Why? Because mistakes are not the end of life. Now, there are some mistakes that could be, and I pray that none of us ever make those choices. But many decisions that are made, sometimes it starts with small things, right? Small missteps. Without mistakes, we will not learn anything new or advance in anything. Let me just share with you some things that were discovered because of mistakes. Some of the things that we're enjoying right now, the microwave was discovered by mistake. How many of you guys love having microwaves at home, right? Instant everything. Post-its. Are you popular with post-its? Little colorful neon papers that you stick with notes. That was discovered by mistake. The inkjet printer was discovered by Canon by mistake. That was a mistake, but everybody uses it now. Potato chips. Come on. Who doesn't love potato chips? Millions of money are made with potato chips. This was discovered by mistake. Penicillin. A medicine, right? That was a cure-all at the turn of the century, well, a century ago, right? Penicillin. This was discovered by mistake. The pacemaker. The pacemaker that helps your heart pump correctly when you have a problem was discovered by mistake. The X-ray was also discovered by a mistake. So can you imagine if people were afraid to try new things, to do new things? A lot of these things that we are now enjoying, benefiting from, whether it is for the healthy reasons like a pacemaker or the unhealthy reasons like the potato chips if you have too much of it. Yeah, actually, that's related, isn't it? You get potato chips, you microwave it, you eat too much, then later on you're gonna need a pacemaker. All of these mistakes, man, are gonna have consequences. But none of us would be enjoying this right now if these people were not brave enough to say, you know what, I'm just gonna try it out. It's never been done before, let me try it. And they discover that they weren't expecting that now is benefiting everybody around us. So don't be afraid of that mistake. Choose to decide. Don't be afraid of that mistake. But when you finally make that decision, own it. Own that decision. Don't be double-minded in what you do, but own that decision. That's one of the things, probably maybe the biggest one, that people are afraid of. Because after the mistake, then they will be embarrassed, they will be put to shame. The good thing is, if you own the decision, if it's a good decision, you get the praises, you get the high fives, you get the promotion, right? You get a good life ahead of you. If you make a bad decision, man, it's gonna hurt for a while. Why? Because your ego will get hurt, and I pray that nothing worse than that happens, but there is always an opportunity to recover from mistakes, to recover from bad decisions. But before the bad decision comes, you can actually gain wisdom. It doesn't have to reach that point. In humility, if we would just learn to recognize God in our life, in the midst of difficulty, in the midst of tough situations, and approach Him, He will grant it to us. Why? Because wise decisions bring clarity and stability. Things are clouded when the decision that you have to make is from the voices all around you, right? And it's good to consider those voices, but in the end, you have to decide. This is my illustration in the 8:30 service today. You know, when you're considering somebody to marry, it's good to ask parents. It's good to ask friends. It's good to ask, if you're in the church, your spiritual leaders, their opinions. But in the end, you have to decide, right? You have to decide. Why? Because for better or for worse, for richer or for poorer, in sickness and in health, they're not the ones that's going to be marrying that person. You are. You are. So when tough times comes, you can't say, well, you're the one who chose this person for me. No, you made that choice. Now I understand in some cultures, they have arranged marriages. Here in the Philippines, we used to, that doesn't exist anymore. So we can't point fingers and say, you know, it was that person's fault. It's our choice. There are decisions that we make that we just have to make and own it. The good thing is, before you come to that point, God says, hey, do you feel like you're not gaining wisdom or you need wisdom in this decision? Ask. Ask. And God says, He will give it generously to those who ask without finding fault. I don't know about you, but whenever it feels like, you know, the light switch is on after prayer or after consulting with someone, things become clearer. Things become clearer. And because of that, there's a feeling of stability because you finally decided. You finally decided. And you make that decision, and whatever it is, if it has been bathed in prayer, if you've sought scriptures, if you've sought the Lord and godly wisdom, then you can take a step of confidence knowing that God is with you in that direction. Some of you are needing to make that decision today. In fact, some of you already know the decision you're supposed to make, but you're afraid. You're afraid of the consequences. Some of you, God is telling you, hey, I need for you to break off that relationship because it's not the one that I've designed. You know that it's not honoring the Lord. And you just need to make that choice today. I guarantee you, if you choose God's path and His direction, things will be better for you. Some of you are needing to make tough choices because you have a loved one that is facing difficulty medically, physically. And God is with you in the midst of that choice. He will give you wisdom and guidance. Some of you are needing to decide job situations. You're being asked to do something that goes against Christian principles, godly principles. You already know what you need to do. You just need to decide that direction. You know, the good thing is, whenever we follow God, He will always honor us. The results may not be what we expect, but ultimately in the end, it will glorify God. Let's not be like the individual that James talks about who was tossed by the winds and the waves. Just because everybody else is doing it doesn't mean it's the right thing to do. As a Christian and as a Jesus follower, He has given you His Spirit. He has given you His Word. He has surrounded you with godly people to enable you to make wise choices. We need to access them so that we could decide with wisdom, godly wisdom, the path that God has chosen for us. What are you going to do this week with what you've learned? I pray that you choose and you make godly choices. He's with you and He will guide you.
We pray that you are encouraged by this message. For more information about ICS Church, please visit us online at ics.church or like us on facebook.com/ICS Church.